Ratify the emergent executive order, number A. Any comments?
This is Tim. I would support the motion. I don't know if we want to have any discussion or should we. I'm prepared to move to approve resolution 2020-1365.
Do I hear a second?
Just to clarify, this is Aaron. This is basically the level 1, 2, 3 response that we had seen previously earlier in the week, right? Was somebody going to walk through what this agenda was, this agenda item?
Okay, this is Quentin here. How are you guys doing?
Good.
This is one of several emergency declarations I drafted this week, which is a change for me. As you may know, the mayor declared an emergency last week, on Wednesday, I believe, of last week. This is a ratification of that decree by the mayor. This is showing that the council approves of the decree. It is not, strictly speaking, necessary. He has broad unilateral authority under an emergency decree. But we felt that having the council have an opportunity to support the emergency declaration would be appropriate in this particular instance. With respect to the resolution ratifying it, the recitals basically set forth the state of affairs, the emergency, what the city's response is, how the council and the budget and communication will occur. The executive order itself has a termination date, 90 days, which could be extended or terminated earlier upon the wishes of the council, depending on the circumstances, what happens with this pandemic. I don't know, Councilmember McArdle, whether this is level 1, 2, or 3. Okay, the city administrator is telling me that that's doesn't apply here. But this, do you want to go ahead and speak? Wait.
Let me just clarify that for the council and for Aaron, for sure. Those are only guides so that people understand what City Hall is doing. It's not a policy. It's not an ordinance or anything else. It's just a guide, so that you all and the citizens can understand what where City Hall is and what we're doing. That's all that was. Sorry for the confusion.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and get our motion and second, then we can have a little more discussion. I have a question.
It's already been made, the motion.
There's already a motion made. We're waiting for a second.
Ty Witt is seconding.
Ty Witt seconds.
Thank you. Discussion?
I have a question, Quentin, on section 3 of the narrative. Paragraph A talks about council members at the end of it are encouraged to attend all meetings via telephone. I think that needs to be expanded so that it includes a software-based meeting application, something like that as well.
That's fine.
And also the same thing down in C, B also talks about telephonically, and I think there needs to be new phraseology that allows us to attend and be counted as attending beyond just being on the telephone.
Would you be okay with remotely?
That's perfect.
Okay.
And then down in section 5A, it says that we're going to provide updates on the city's website, and this might be a Wade question. How agile are we on that website? Can we get emergency stuff up there in a form that people can get to, and can we do it quickly?
Yes, we can.
Okay, and I guess I'm sort of back. Aaron talked earlier at our workshop about getting a Facebook page up. That's where most people are communicating now, and they see it, and I think they would probably appreciate having that as an option. Maybe there are other options as well, but someplace we need to be able to get word out, probably beyond just the city website. Maybe add the phrase or other means, something like that. That's it for me. Thank you, guys.
Any other comments? Wade, are ready to vote on this?
Cool.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Peter, I say aye.
Aye.
I heard no opposes.
You need to ask for them here. I think that needs to be a separate ask.
We're only going through the individual ones. If we get an A, that way you can process a little bit quicker. If we have a nay vote, then we'll go back and do a head count on the sheet.
I think you need to specifically ask for no votes, and if there are any, then you can poll them. But if there are not any, that at least says there aren't. That time you just ask for the yay votes.
Oh, I thought I asked for those opposed. No, I am asking for those opposed.
Thank you.
It passes. B, the deferred utility payment policy from Finance Director Thornton.
Hello. This is, we're discussing ordinance number 2020-1576, which is a policy that addresses deferred utility payments during the pandemic, during the declared emergency. And here in Chelan, our utility bills incorporate water, sewer, and sanitation. And typically those bills are due 30 days after issue. After 60 days, those if not paid in the 30 days, 5% late fee is charged, and after 60 days, those services, the water services, are subject to being turned off pending payment. What this policy would do was during the length of the declared emergency, there would be no late penalties for the period of the declaration. So there would be no late fees. There would also be no disconnections during this entire period. At the end of the emergency, hopefully in 2 or 3 months, our utility customers would have the opportunity to select a payment plan. So if it's a three month period of this deferral of late fees and disconnections, customers would have 5 months to repay the past new amounts. There would be a form sent out in the utility bill that would allow each customer to choose what their payment plan would look like. With a thought that would give our customers the opportunity to choose the payment plan that best meets their needs, whether it's a small business or a household. At that time, after the end of the emergency, customers would have to remain current on their bill. Like, assuming that, say, for instance, this declaration finishes in July with the August billing, customers would need to pay that August billing in the month of August or be subject to late fees and penalties on all back amounts owed. So there's a certain amount of encouragement to keep the bill current after the declaration of emergency and within that five period of repayment. I think that sums it up. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Hey, Steve, this is Aaron.
Yes.
I had I'm a little bit concerned that, let's say, our state of emergency goes for 3 months. We have a very large portion of our community that will be out of work and not generating any monthly income. And then to expect them to be able to, within a month's time, let's say they come back to work, and within that 1 month, this obviously wouldn't be the only bill that they have not been able to pay, to expect them to not give them any leeway of rebounding, otherwise all those fees come back, seems a little unrealistic to make happen, because they'll have probably credit card payments, mortgage payments, all of those things stacking up, and then we haven't really given them any rebound time, and then all of our fees are set back on our late fees are back then on all the months that they missed. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes. So what the bill that they'd have to pay. So say this goes into effect with our April billing, April, May, and June. So with a July billing, the bill that they would have to pay in July would be the July bill.
Yeah.
So it would be just the month for the current service.
And if they weren't able to make that July payment because it's their first month back on generating an income, fees are applied to the all past months that they missed?
That's correct.
Okay. I would ask for a little more leeway for community members that are going to be impacted in not earning an income for couple months, let's say. We're basically giving them a pause while they're not making money, but then when they come back to their job, it's almost like an immediate, like there really hasn't been some sort of padding that we're giving them.
Right. But we will be deferring our payments for several months though. And at the same time, we've got to be concerned about being able to pay the utility bills as well. Mm-hmm. So that would be my concern with that.
Other council members think. I just think if we gave them at least 2 months to rebound a little bit before we slap those late fees back on their bill.
This is Tim Hollingsworth, and I had that same concern. I didn't express it in my earlier questions. I think it's a valid concern. On the other hand, you know, the utility bill would be probably one of the smaller bills that they're going to have to pay when they, you know, get back on their feet. I don't know. You know, I tend to agree with Aaron. The reason I didn't bring it up earlier was I felt that, you know, the city is giving them a pretty good deal there. But if there was a way to soften it so that, you know, if they for some reason missed that first utility bill that was required, they could still, you know, still work out with some compensation. You know, I don't know exactly what that would look like. You know, maybe give them an out to plead extenuating circumstances or come up with some kind of a payment arrangement during that first month so that they could, you know, still pay off the whole amount over the, you know, the payback period. As long as they made those arrangements, you know, before the due date of their first bill after the emergency. You know, again, I kind of feel like we're already giving them a pretty good break, more than a lot of outfits were, but I do kind of agree with Aaron. So that's my two cents.
Okay, this is Ty Witt. A couple comments. The way I'm looking at this is it can be extended if people are out of work longer. Right now, we're just assuming 3 months. It may only be a month or 6 weeks that people are out of work. So I think it's good the way it's built in with that cushion. And when they get back to work, assuming it is 3 months, you're not late that first cycle until you're 30 days late. So you do have that whole month after getting back to work before that bill is actually due. And then, Aaron, I think you are understanding that they don't have to pay the whole time all at once. They get a payment period over however many months were out plus two. So in this case of 3 months, they'd get 5 months to make partial payments for the balance over a 5 month period. So I think it sounds extremely fair, Steve. I thank you for putting that together. I think it looks good. That's all I got.
If there's no other comments, I suggest we make a motion or an adjustment.
Well, in that case, this is Tim. I would move to adopt ordinance number 2020-1576.
It's Ray, I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Any opposed? Hearing none, it passes. Policy related to emergency funding for certain community agencies during the public health emergency and or the pandemic. Steve.
Hello, this resolution number 2020-1371 is a policy relating to emergency funding for certain community agencies during the public health emergency and or pandemic. And this grew out of a discussion that the City Council had a week ago yesterday as to how the city might help out some of our community agencies. As you know, we provide funding to several community agencies that help people, the Senior Center, Thrive, Chelan Valley Hope, the Community Kitchen, Meals on Wheels, to help people in a lot of cases with food and housing security. And this resolution was designed and written with the idea that of providing the mayor and the city administrator with the authority and resources in the case of a serious loss of employment, people being unable to afford food or perhaps their rent to have shelter, that there would be a pathway for the agencies who are included in our 2020 budget who do meet the goal of assisting people with nutrition and assisting with housing, a way to respond to those needs quickly should the need be great. And so what this would do is our process would, what the City Council would authorize at the discretion of the mayor and or city administrator, grants of up to $5,000 per grant to community agencies, not to exceed $50,000 in total, supporting the community during the emergency through the direct provision of goods and services, enhancing food and housing security for the residents of Chelan. Agencies would be eligible for more than one grant. We spell out an application process. It would be a letter to the mayor signed by the agency director or executive and also a member of the board of directors. And they would address certain questions as to the reason, the reason for the request, who's the client base, how it's growing, and how is the request related to the declared public health emergency. I would be asking for statistics that would indicate that, yeah, there are a lot more people asking for food boxes or needing help with emergency housing, for instance. And so we'd want to be comparing what's going on this year with what's what was the situation in prior years. And we'd want a breakdown of their client being served between City of Chelan residents and non-residents. And I know that can be tricky sometimes. And also a discussion by the agency of how the funding would directly impact food or housing security for Chelan residents. The mayor or city administrator would notify the City Council of all grants. And we'd also ask for some reporting at the conclusion of the grant period as to exactly what the money was used for and how it helped people. Over the week, we were asked why we were putting in only agencies included in the 2020 budget. And really the major reason for that is those agencies can have the ability and to meet the needs that we're trying to target with this resolution. And as to the reason for those agencies, the assumption behind this is that when people start needing help, it will happen fast and they will need a lot of help, or maybe they will need no help. But the assumption is that if the agencies do need help to meet the needs of their client base, it'll happen quickly. And agencies that have been approved through the budget have been vetted by the City Council in an extended process through the budget process, and they're known entities. And so if we're opening the budget to provide additional funding, it seems appropriate that we'd be providing the funding to agencies that we know that, and that perhaps there wouldn't be an issue of bringing those agencies to the council or running them through an additional vetting process. And so that is my presentation for this, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Hello, this is Peter. My question is, what do you anticipate the amount of money allocated for this kind of dispersal at this time?
In the ordinance, we're allowing for grants to individual grants of up to $5,000 with a maximum of $50,000. Should the need be there. And I would anticipate that if the demand proved to be greater than that, and if things were really difficult for a substantial sector of the population, that perhaps the staff might be back asking to have that number adjusted. But for right now, that's a good place to start.
This is Peter again. It's my comment that, you know, these people are the most vulnerable in our community to this situation. So I don't see that as being unreasonable to me. I'm open to this idea.
Any other comments?
Go ahead. This is Tim. I think it's a great policy. It's fairly conservative, but you know, if we need more, we can get it. I'd like to go ahead and move to approve resolution 2020-1371.
This is Ray. I'll second.
Okay.
Any other comments?
Yep, I had another question. I was trying to read through to see if there was a time frame associated with this. This only applies during the state of emergency, or does this expand beyond on that time frame?
As it's written, I think if I may just have a second to refresh myself.
Yep.
Steve, if you don't mind me jumping in the definitions, section 3B talks about emergency funding, and it talks about during the current public health emergency. So I think it's limited in its scope to this emergency.
Okay.
Thank you, Quentin.
So this may be a good model or test case to see, to Peter's point, during the state of emergency, this amount may seem relevant, but is this something that we can come back and if we see at a federal level the state of emergency being lifted, but within a state or county level, we have differing state of emergencies, because if you think about how many people are jobless as of tomorrow evening, 5:30 p.m., there may be long-term ramifications. So I just want to keep an eye on this so that at the end of 2 weeks, we are evaluating whether or not the city of Chelan state of emergency is lifted or extended, in which case this resolution would continue on, correct?
This is my take on that, is that there are certain steps that are good for the city to take in the light of a designated emergency at the federal and state levels, and this resolution is a good step towards that, and it could assist us with perhaps reimbursement at some time. If at the end of this declared emergency, there's a need for more assistance to these agencies, the city council would have that ability. We can, and I would anticipate that what we would do at that point, as we would probably have to do anyway to provide budget authority for these expenditures, we'll be coming forward with an amendment. Say that we spent all this amount, $50,000, in the next 3 months, the emergency is over, there is still a need in the community to for, you know, a lot of food assistance and a lot of housing support. There would be the opportunity to open the budget and allow for further expenditures. And that would be a part of a budget amendment that we would have. So that's how I would anticipate seeing that work.
This is Peter. My comment on this is, you know, once the emergency is over, that doesn't mean people are going to go back to work the next day. And there's going to be a ramping up period. I think that maybe we could extend this like 90 days after the emergency just to take care of those people that haven't, you know, can't go right back to work, right? And so the emergency actually lasts longer than the proclamation. And I think that's what Aaron was also talking about in the utility thing, you know, having like a 90-day window afterwards that, you know, we could give some grace and be able to fund these agencies.
This is Tim again. I just, you know, the one of the, I think the key feature of this, you know, isn't that spending of money on agencies, it's, you know, giving the mayor and or the city administrator kind of this unique power to just dole this money out as they see fit, which is perfectly appropriate under the existing circumstances. And obviously there may be more long-term ramifications with this current crisis that we need to address, but I think as we move out of the current crisis, those are things that the city council should definitely deliberate on and address in a deliberate fashion rather than in a quote unquote emergency setting. I'm done.
I would agree with that, Tim, or Councilor Hollingsworth.
This is Peter again. Is there some way that we could actually make, you know, whenever the end of the emergency, at least 30 days for additional funding to these agencies to help people get going again? And then, you know, after 30 days, we can do, like Tim had mentioned, bring it back to the council for additional funding. I have no problem with the city administrator or the mayor helping where we need to help to get everybody in this community through this problem.
The wording that I read on there and where Quinn was pointing us to definitions B is not specifically saying, it's not in capital letters, the emergency. It's talking about the current lowercase public health emergency. We're the ones who decide how long that would stretch in our community. So I don't think it's limiting us to go farther than that. When the president says it's over, or the governor says it's over, it doesn't necessarily have to be over. It's our current public health emergency.
This is Quentin. That's exactly right, Councilmember Dobbs. It's the enabling resolution has a reference to the mayor's declaration of an emergency, which the council has authority to either terminate or extend. So ultimately, it's going to come back to council to decide what the emergency is, notwithstanding whatever happens in the state or federally.
Ty Witt here. I would also add comment to that, Ray. I agree 100%. And it doesn't give timelines and dates and starts and stops. The application process itself will take time, but if the applicant can show that their request is due to said public health emergency, then it qualifies, even if it's 30 or 60 days later from when the federal government decides the emergency is over. So I don't think I think the wording allows that flexibility for the mayor to award these funds just the way it's written. That's it.
This is Peter again. I move to approve resolution number 2020-1371.
I second.
Ty Witt.
Yeah, we've already had a motion and a second, so this is under the comment period. If there's no further comments, I would call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, it passes. Rate and
thank you.
Thank you. Rate resolution number 2020-1368. Paul?
This is Paul Horn.
There you go.
Great. The Lakeshore RV Park has two major differentiating selling points. The first is its lake proximity to Lake Chelan, downtown Chelan, and Don Morse Park. The second is our commitment to and our customers' expectations of great customer service. Our customer loyalty has been earned over a long period of time, with many clients returning year after year. As the COVID-19 virus impacts travel plans for all Americans and Canadians, we're proposing a relief for our customers in the interest of long-term customer retention. We are proposing both greater leniency in our refund policy as well as the waiving of established fees associated with changing or canceling a reservation. The proposed policy changes would remain in force while the city operates under COVID-19 related emergency declarations. The background. Currently, our guests understand that registration, that no refunds are available, quote, due to weather conditions, acts of nature, or anything out of the city's control, end quote. Such language was added shortly after the major fires of 2015. The current proposal includes waiving this provision and adding the following update to our rate and fee schedule resolution. Relief of cancellation fees during COVID-19 restrictions. If customers request a cancellation within 20 days of their scheduled arrival date, they will have the option of one, changing their reservation to a later date within this calendar year, and we would waive the customary $15 fee charged for changing their reservations. Or two, they could receive a full refund minus a $5 credit card processing fee. Ordinarily, no refunds are issued within this 21-day window. Additionally, if customer requests a cancellation 21 days or more in advance of their scheduled arrival date, they will have the option of one, changing their reservation date later within this calendar year with a waiver of the customary $15 fee charged for a change, or they would receive a full refund minus their $5 credit card transaction fee. That's the gist of the resolution. We're here to answer questions if there are any.
This from a guy reasonable,
this is Ray. From a guy who's been in the retail business and customer service for a long time, slapping them with a $5 credit card processing fee seems like we're not really giving it. It kind of takes away some of the good things we're trying to accomplish here. I think we should just let that go too.
This is Tim. I had just one question on it. When I'm looking at the changes to the actual rate structure, it's titled under relief of cancellation fee during COVID-19 restrictions, emergency declarations. Is that a clear enough way to limit this to the city's emergency declaration, or is there some, perhaps, could there be some misinterpretation of whether this would be applied at other times? Or I guess that's just kind of a little bit of a process question. I'm done.
This is Paul. In the text of the memo, I reference this would remain in force while the city operates under COVID-19 related emergency declarations. That obviously won't be in the rate resolution change, but if we need to alter that text to make it more clear, we can certainly do so. I think that's I think the intent is clear. If there's specific verbiage that would make that more clear, we could certainly change that.
Yeah, that just maybe, I don't know if Quentin has a thought or just maybe get another set of eyes on it. That would be my only comment. I'm good with it.
Councilmember Hollingsworth, I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying. You would like there to be an end date on this?
Well, I just want to make it, clear, that these, we're only waiving the fees during the current crisis. And then are we defining that emergency as the city's emergency declaration or the state's emergency declaration or the national emergency declaration? There's a little bit of a discussion of it in the resolution itself, but, you know, I mean, in the ordinance, but, you know, in the actual, you know, if somebody looks at the language of the fee resolution, it, to me, it's not really clear exactly what that emergency declaration is. So.
Got it. Yeah. I think we can make that change easily. So any motion, if the council wants to act on this, can be done with that in mind. So a motion to approve the resolution with the suggested language of tying it to a specific emergency, the city emergency.
I'm also seeing on the just above the actual document itself that we have the editing done on, in the loops D and E 7-night minimum, I see a cancellation fee of $25. Rather than specifying $15, it's not going to be charged the customary $15. We need to widen that farther.
That $25 is what is being waived.
$15 is a change fee.
$15 is a change fee. The cancellation fee is precisely what's being waived. We in the rate resolution. Yes, that's implied.
I would like to make a motion to approve resolution number 1368 with two modifications. One is the change in the language that Hollingsworth specified, and the removal of the $5 credit card transaction fee.
I'll second that.
Any other comments?
And I have a comment before we vote too. Paul or Quentin, this is Ty. When I read the new red letters portion there, it distinguishes between 21 days cancellation or after, you know, before or after 21 days. But both of the verbiages are exactly the same. So
that's correct.
Combine those two paragraphs and say any cancellation within the emergency period and make it a little simpler, because there's no difference in the before or after 21 days. It's confusing to read it. Yeah.
Sure. Ordinarily, there's a differentiation between when they cancel. For the purposes of this, though, you're correct. It would be more elegant to simplify that language.
Great. Thank you.
Any more comments? I assume then that we're going to make this motion with the two modifications.
We did. So it's already moved and seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, it passes. Resolution policy relating to payment of employee wages and benefits during a public health emergency and or pandemic. Wade?
Yes, so Mayor and Council, you know, when we had the workshop, I think it was last week, seems like forever ago, we discussed a lot of these policies we were going to try and put in place to help not only protect our citizens, but also provide for our employees as well. And so we looked at this we tried to see what other cities were doing, and Steve and I chewed on this for quite a bit to try and see what would be the best for both employees and for the city. And so what we did was come up with what you have in front of you there, or it's looked at, and that's a vehicle to pay our employees given conditions. And it goes into, as you can see from the policy, it goes into pretty great detail as far as leading up the conditions that would warrant us paying employees for being off based on this pandemic. Or any pandemic. Hopefully, don't have another one of these in my lifetime, but a pandemic. And we tried to, we looked at, you know, trying to use some combination of sick leave that was on the books or their paid vacation leave or something like that. But at the end of the day, we thought the most fair and equitable thing to do given all the circumstances and given the very unusual nature of this pandemic, that we would, if we come to the point where employees there has to be quarantined for this, or we tell them to quarantine, or we tell them to go home, or the city hall has reduced operations because of whatever levels we're at, or we have to just send everybody home, that the best thing to do to keep it simple and provide the best benefit for the employees was to say we will pay them their whatever the current wage is. One thing that I did not put in there that has just come to light, of course, is the federal sick leave policy. And one thing I will add to this, so it'll be amended, is that the employees will not double dip, i.e. they won't be drawing federal sick leave and paid leave from the city. So that will be added at the end of this policy as written now. So that is a short Reader's Digest version of what went into this and what why there's so much verbiage. And so subject to your questions, that's all I have, and I'll welcome your any input or questions.
If there's no comments or questions.
Quick question, Wade. Does this follow the same chart that's on the employment security page? I'm assuming it does.
I'm sorry. The employment security page, you mean the Washington State employment security page?
Yes. And they have that graph that was really good about basically all the scenarios that were on the left-hand side and whether paid family medical leave or unemployment security, all those things applied based on which scenario was being implemented.
Yeah, we looked at that and the decision, we made the decision to keep it simple because once we, one thing, we have limited staff, we could have even more limited staff as this goes on. And at the end of the day, we're trying to take care of our employees. So it basically says if during the pandemic or because of the pandemic, any of those situations that we list in our policy apply, then you will be put on basically paid administrative leave or closure phase. And okay. That's what we did.
Okay.
Wade, Ty Witt here. One comment I might have is that I don't see anywhere in here that if they are asked to stay home or they are put on administrative leave and then therefore getting, you know, paid time off not without using vacation or sick leave, that they also should be compliant with the current state recommendations, you know, whether it's a stay at home policy or a don't travel past state, county, you know, city line, whatever it is. It seems like we ought to have some kind of compliance with the ongoing state mandates as well included in the policy. That's it.
Yeah, I hear you, Ty. That was not, those things weren't in place when we put this thing together here. This is one of the first policies we looked at. So we can include that. Compliance with state and federal restrictions is required. I'm writing myself
and a good place for that would be under the first procedure, paragraph B, where it kind of talks about following the, you know, guidelines for infection prevention and the social distancing. You know, you kind of went into that, which is great. And then just a sentence in that paragraph would fit nicely to just say, you know, participate in the current recommendations from the governor, whatever, you know, that kind of worded.
All right. Do we have the ability to be able to approve this knowing that there are going to be additions and changes to it to include the federal stuff?
Yeah, that's what the motion should say. Will include the most current regulations will apply, state and federal regulations, as well as what, it'll say that. I just wrote myself a note on that.
I move to approve resolution 2020-1366 with the addition of the federal guidelines.
And it should, Dr. Gregory, it should be both state and federal guidelines.
State and federal guidelines.
I'll second that. This is Tim.
Would you repeat the motion number again, the resolution number?
I move to approve resolution 2020-1366.
It's 1370.
Am I getting the wrong one? Okay, 1370.
No, it's 1360. It's 1366. We're on 1366 right now.
Any other comments? With the state and federal recommendations, guidelines.
My error, I'm sorry.
Second, this is Aaron.
Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, it passes. Policy relating to telecommunicating during a public health emergency or pandemic. Wade?
Yeah, Mayor, Council, this is another policy we probably should have had in place a while back, but due to our, you know, we don't have a very big staff, so we don't have a whole lot of either capability or the staff to let people commute from home on a regular basis. So we just didn't really have anything in place. But due to this pandemic, we thought we need something in place so there's a policy, even though employees have volunteered to do this, we wanted to make sure there were procedures in place so they could telecommute using either city resources or their own resources that are tied into the city network. And we've got the resources to do that now as far as the vision that we use for our tech stuff. And so that's what this policy is about. And subject to your questions, that's it in a nutshell.
This is Tim. Just curious if it would be appropriate to broaden the scope of this just a little bit. I could foresee situations where if there were damage to City Hall or to the Public Works building, for instance. It could apply to other types of emergencies.
Sorry, Jim.
So yeah.
Yeah,
that's
and if
all.
You look under eligibility, it outlines A through F, and then G. It says, with concurrence of city administrator, the employee supervisor may waive one or most or more of these eligibility requirements as circumstances dictate. So we tried to do a blanket waiver in that those instances because we couldn't anticipate everything. So we thought paragraph G would cover that, unless you disagree.
Yeah, no, that's good. I was just reading the resolution itself refers to public health emergencies, but I think the policy is good.
This is Peter. I think we could take out public health from that during an emergency and then take out and or pandemic, hereby approved to do these types of things. And so that way it gives us more latitude and it gives the city administrator and the mayor the opportunity to do this for other situations like the failure of the building or whatever.
Yeah, just with hold on a second, we're discussing this. Yeah, and one thing, I forgot to say this at the beginning of all this, but there's certain policies, including this one, that and the one that's going to follow this, that will be adopted into our personnel manual. And so that's a very good suggestion, Peter, that we put that in there. So when it's adopted in the personnel manual, we will follow your suggestions. But for now, this policy is mostly for the virus emergency. And so we'll adopt both yours and Tim's suggestions. That way we'll have a policy on the books, if that's acceptable to you all.
Yeah, I'm good with it. I would move to approve resolution number 2020-1367. This is Tim.
Aaron, this is Pete. The second.
Did you get the second? Okay. Any other comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, it passes. A policy relating to Washington State Paid Family and Medical Leave Act policy. Wait.
Yeah, one of the things I noticed when I got here two or three months back, seems like more than that now, everything has gone on, but is that we didn't really have a policy in place, although the rules were there, that specifically talked about the paid family Medical Leave Act that was enacted and put in place last year. So, you know, it's one of those things you sort of put, okay, yeah, we'll get it on there. But with this emergency, one of the things we wanted to have in our toolbox for the employers to use if, you know, whatever happened and the city couldn't take care of them like we're doing is a policy to address the Paid Family Medical Leave Act. So this policy is pretty much a reflection of that act and the different procedures and things that both the city and the employee have to do to qualify for the Paid Family Medical Leave Act. Now, on a side note, we did have an employee that tried to use this because it was legal to use even without a policy last year or this past year that went into this year for an extended emergency. And they, while they applied quite a while back, they still have not been paid for that. So that's just a side note. So hopefully this will be all taken care of as we come out of this thing on the other end. But for us right now, this is a policy that we need to put in place, and we'll go. This is another one that will go into our personnel policy once this is all said and done. So, subject to your questions, that's all I have for that.
Questions or comments?
I move to approve resolution 2020-1370.
Second, Aaron.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none, it passes.